Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
We're back on 720 WGN. You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News. I'm Steve Bertrand. All right, you've got stereotypical ideas of Chicago, right? We all do, even though we live here. Ted McClellan writes for Chicago Magazine, and he took on some of those and says they don't really exist. Ted, welcome back to the show.
Hey, it's good to be here, and I want to start with a confession,
yeah,
which is that I'm participating in one of the stereotypes I say no longer exists. I'm drinking an old style.
You are drinking that. If I had to pick one of the 10, it would not be old style.
No, I got hooked on. I worked for the Census Bureau last summer, and you know, out in the street 6 or 7 hours a day in August, I wanted to come home to an old style tall boy, and I got hooked on it.
Wow.
You know, it's refreshing. As someone said, old style
is refreshing.
I find it refreshing. Old style is sort of relic of 70s industry. If you're doing a hot job, you want a light, refreshing beer at the end of it.
When I was at Wrigley Field, I would go without rather than order an old style.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Because maybe the wax paper cups.
I don't really see what could be so objectionable about it. It's not like it has any taste.
It is funny. You know? It's kind of funny that that Pabst Blue Ribbon is considered hip now, and old style still
right.
is not. Yeah.
Right. I mean, they're an exact the same category. Another one I really like is Hams.
Can That's you still find close. A Hams?
Yeah. I know two bars right in my neighborhood that serve Hams.
Are you in Hegwisch?
No, I'm not in Hegwisch. I'm in Rogers Park.
Well, I ask Hegwisch, right, because we think of us being an old-style town because there's still all those bottles and cans bars where they've got the old-style signs up front. And you point out those were for the factory workers in many ways.
Right, exactly. Yeah, Hegwisch or the East Side, another factory neighborhood. My favorites are the ones on they're really hard to find, the ones on the north and southwest side that say Zimny Piwo in the Polish neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. Now, that I have not seen. Okay, so we kind of got ahead ourselves, but...
Okay, sorry.
No, it's okay. It's good. It's the old style. I get it.
Yeah, but you know, as I pointed out in the story, the number one beer in Chicago is now Modelo Especial.
I love that. And not just Chicago, but many cities, right?
Yeah. I went to the track. I went to Hawthorne, and half the guys there, you know, given, you know, there is a big Latino contingent at the track. Half the guys there were drinking Modelo.
Well, is that what it's about, the Hispanic population? I mean, I order Modelo.
But I mean, that's a big part of it. The Hispanic population is growing in Chicago. So,
right. So we've got more Miguel's than Stans anymore.
Oh, exactly. Stash. We got Miguel. Stash is gone.
So Ted is writing about stereotypes in the city that don't really apply anymore. How did you come up with this idea? What prompted it?
I guess I'm always trying to think of, things about Chicago culture, things about Chicago life. Those seem to be the ones that get the readers, you know, even more than the political stories. Yeah. And, you know, I'd written a story earlier about, saying that I thought that Thin Crust Tavern style pizza should be, you know, considered the quintessential Chicago food. And, you know, a big thing is that, you know, everybody associates deep dish pizza with Chicago, but here in Chicago, most of us prefer that tavern cut pizza.
Well, you know, I think that's probably true, but I think if you take that on publicly, it'll be interesting to see what your feedback is like. People would be pretty defensive about that. We'd like to be known for deep dish pizza.
I think it's mainly a tourist thing.
I do love Malnati's, but there's nothing like a crispy, thin crust tavern pizza.
Yeah, have you been to Vito and Nick's?
No, where is that?
It's way on the south side. It's like 87th and Pulaski. This legendary Chicago pizza place. I was driving back from Springfield, and I just made a special trip out of my way.
There used to be. Is there
just
still
to go to Vito and Nick's?
Vito and Nick's. Is there still Pete's Pizza on the north side?
That sounds familiar. My go-to here in my neighborhood is J.B. Alberto's.
And why is it that tavern pizza became popular here?
Well, I think that Chicago, you know, they would serve it in taverns, and to get people to drink, and they didn't have silverware or plates, so they sliced the pizza into little squares, and they could be set on napkins. And Chicago tavern owners were less traditional than New York, where they had, you know, people from, you know, the area of Italy where pizza had originated, and they would hand roll their pizza. And here, they would, you know, toss their pizza dough, and here they hand rolled the pizza, and then they finally started using mechanical sheeters, which produce an even thinner crust.
Right. I love the crispy crust. I grew up, there's a place called Monocles or Chain Monocles, which is, you know that one? A little downstate.
Yeah.
And I think for a while, the furthest north store was in like Bradley, Illinois. Maybe it's still, no, there's one in Manteno now. So
Maybe I lived in Decatur for a while, so maybe that's where I heard about it.
I think they're from Mattoon, maybe. Okay, so.
Yeah. Oh, you say Mattoon the right way, so you're definitely from downstate.
I'm a student of the state, my friend. I'm a student of the state. But, you know, the biggest perversion of that was when I was a kid and you'd go to the tavern, because that's what you did with your families. They didn't have, if they didn't have the tavern pizza, they had the Tombstone pizza oven. What a disappointment.
Oh, no.
That was never
good. I did see a Vito and Nick's frozen pizza, so that's...
Oh, that's not bad. I'll take that over Tombstone. Okay, so we were kind of doing the accent before. You've read something fascinating here. Because I still, when we take calls, I will still hear the accent. In fact, we talked to a guy yesterday who had it a little bit. So it still exists.
Yeah, it still exists. Yeah, and we did that. I did that with Justin Kaufman. We would do the Chicago accent challenge.
Oh, right,
people with the strongest Chicago accents to call in. So we definitely got an earful of it. But interestingly, I just read this academic paper on why the accent is disappearing in Beverly. And I think they kind of attribute it to integration and younger people, you know, not wanting to be associated with that, you know, that image of the white ethnic blue collar worker that they think of as, you know, resisting integration.
Oh, we got a text from a guy who says, I'm in Hegwisch right now. Oh, and pizza's still on Western. I go to pizza in Jefferson Park too, so that's nice. But you write in the story that people, because of the Saturday Night Live skits, are trying to cleanse themselves of the accent?
That's a reason. Yeah, people got self-conscious about it.
Wow, okay.
You know, like I said, I was at a bar in Beverly, and it was during a Bears game, and some guy just shouted, hey, what are the squares for this quarter? Another guy said, zero and three.
You just love it. I mean...
And it was the older guys. You know, still hear it more among older. And this academic study found that, you know, certain aspects of the Chicago accent, like when you would say, can, or, you know, or mom. Those are kind of receding among the younger generations. It's becoming less extreme.
I get that it happens. It's too bad, though, because I hate to lose that. Beverly. Yeah, go to Beverly. I got to work on it. So this one, I don't really know if this is a stereotype, but I'm glad you put it in there, is how shocked people are when they see Lake Michigan, which cracks me up.
Yeah, you get people from the East and the West Coast, and they're like, wow, you can't even see across it. And somebody told me an anecdote of something. He was flying into Chicago with someone who maybe had never flown into Chicago before, and they said, I didn't know Chicago was on an ocean.
Right. I know someone who calls it the Michigan Ocean.
Yeah. It looks like one. I mean, the surf is, and the waves aren't as extreme, although people do surf in the fall, and we don't have sharks, we don't have jellyfish, and you can drink out of it, so it's better than an ocean in every way.
I've got that hat that says something like Great Lakes, freshwater, no sharks, no salt.
Yeah,
like that,
unsalted. Yeah.
Unsalted. Okay, one more. The hot dog thing. I was talking to Gerard Jabaley, and he said the Polish. You know, the people in Chicago like the Polish, but we don't like the Polish so much.
Well, I mean, I think people like it, but we're not the number one hot dog town.
That's sad.
Los Angeles. You know, and New York and Philadelphia.
So we're number five on the list?
We're number five. Yeah, they're all ahead of us. You know, there's this image that, you know, just Chicagoans are just eating meat all the time, eating, you know, Polish sausage, eating Italian beef.
I'm interested in how, though, I'm just thinking of myself, but even if I don't partake, I defend, you know, like, I'll fight about the ketchup on the hot dog, even though I haven't had a hot dog in years, or the deep dish pizzas, ours, things like that. Ted McClellan.
Right.
writes about it at Chicago Magazine, chicagomag.com, where you can read a pretty cool thing. Ted, enjoy your old style. I mean, as if it's possible. Give it your best
shot.
Right. All right.
All right. Thanks.
We'll
Bye.
Talk again. You're listening to the Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. Wait till you read what Kelly Bauer is reporting on Loretto Hospital Now. That's coming up after the news.